All right, so we're going to be looking at a couple things with regard to fear, worry, and anxiety, and spending a couple nights together looking at a topic that I hear way, way, way too much of. Just when I'm talking to people and asking people how it's going, the topic of fear, worry, and anxiety comes up really, really fast. So why don't I pray for us? And then we'll jump in. So let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love. Thank you for the truths of that song that we just sung, Lord, that you, in fact, do hold us fast, that we can rest secure in who you are. And Lord, help us to do that. Even tonight, as we talk about this topic together, Lord, help us to trust in you more. Thank you for your grace and your assurance and your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So setting the table up front, everyone at some point struggles with fear, worry, and anxiety, right? If you don't, you're a robot and you don't count, right? Serious, everybody does in some way, shape, or form. Confession time, as Summerfest loomed and I didn't have a plan for how I was going to teach this, guess what? I started to struggle with fear, worry, and anxiety, which I thought was just tremendously ironic that the Lord was letting me experience that, because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have an outline. I'm behind. And so I started to worry about these things. Further confession time, the Lord has allowed a few circumstances in my life in the last couple weeks that produced some pretty serious fear, worry, and anxiety. I don't know about you guys, but it affects us in different ways. Like, I feel it here. Like, I feel heaviness in my chest. I feel sometimes a shortness of breath. Sometimes I actually get a little weak in the knees. You know what I'm saying? But it affects us in different ways. And there were some heavier situations that were going on where I felt that. You know, it was kind of, it was a sanctifying time. I was so thankful that God was allowing me to be sanctified before I was able to talk about this with you guys. But further confession time, at one point about 20 years ago, I experienced a full-blown panic attack that another fire. There was one earlier. Lily, we know where Lily is for sure? Okay, just checking. Just making sure. Just kidding. You said it first, so I figured out.
I thought she didn't do it.
Oh, she didn't do it. Okay, good. These firemen, man, they have a busy night. They had one fire before, they have another fire now, and then they got the fireworks later on. So, about 20 years ago, I experienced a full-blown panic attack while Melanie and I were on vacation. I didn't know what was happening, but I felt kind of that heaviness in my chest again. And what happened was I started to hyperventilate, and I hyperventilated so bad that everything locked up. Like, I don't know how it's done, but you actually rob your body so much of oxygen that you palsy up, you lock up. So my hands were like this. I thought, of course, at that point, now I'm dying for sure. So now that just sends anxiety into overdrive because you don't know what's going on. I'm like, I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a stroke. This is the big one. You know, so we dialed 911 on vacation. I got the experience of a ride in the Myrtle Beach ambulance to the ER. And of course, they ran a battery of tests and they just said, hey, good news. You're totally fine. You just had a panic attack. I'm like, what the heck is a panic attack? And I just remember the doctor looking down while I was in that bed going, what are you so worried about? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't really think about it until this moment. And of course, I knew I had about 1,000 things on my mind that I was worried about. The Lord was actually using that. It was a critical time. I was not saved yet. So the Lord was using that to bring me to him, to bring me to an awareness of my need for him, even in that. But I remember that. I remember. So I feel it. And I understand. Point being, we all experience it to a certain degree. Either that's not very much or sometimes a lot, right? So the plan is we're going to take 3 weeks. We're going to look at each one of these, fear, worry, and anxiety. And we're going to look at them the same way. And that's kind of the way that it's laid out in your little handout there. Definition, evaluation, and application. So that being said, let's jump into some definition. Mikey, you want to keep up with me, or you want me to do it from here? That was a yes. Your stone cold silence is very reassuring. Okay, good. All right, so we're going to... Monsters, Inc., anybody? Okay, just making sure. What is fear? Okay, so let's define. We're going to look at fear this week. Before we get too deep into it, let's look at what it is. First, the question is all fear bad? No, right? Not all fear is bad. Some fear is good. And I think we can agree there are healthy fears and there are unhealthy fears. So healthy fears first. And I'd like some folks to look up some verses. This is kind of, I hope this is interactive. Like Sunday mornings, you guys aren't allowed to talk back to me. But tonight, you can talk back and we can talk. So I'd like some guys to look up some verses. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. Proverbs 1, 7. So healthy fears include fear of God. That's a healthy fear. We should have a healthy fear of God. When you think about fear of God, it's not like a terror, right? It's a healthy respect. It's an honor. It's a reverence. It's an esteem. It's holding him more high above everything else. The concept in Hebrew is one of weightiness. Like he should carry the most weight in your life. Like, think about the most important person in your life whenever they walk into the room. If we're working, usually that's our boss, right? When they walk in the room, whatever they say is usually like, I should probably listen to that, right? You're a kid, it's usually your parent or your teacher, you know, something. Somebody in authority over you. Think of it like that when you think of fear of God. So who's got Isaiah 6? Somebody? Anyone? Ron, read that nice and loud for us. Okay, thank you. We see this scene in the throne room of God where Isaiah gets a glimpse of what's going on, right? And what's his first reaction? I'm dead. I don't belong here, right? Woe is me, he says, for I am a man of unclean lips. He says, I shouldn't even be here. There's fear of God. What about Proverbs 1:7? Who's got that? Sherry, nice and loud. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So scripture sets us up in just those two verses that we should be fearing God, right? That's a healthy fear. What about fear of danger? This morning I got here early to open up all the windows and I parked in that parking lot and I went booking around the dumpster and I realized before I booked around the dumpster, I wonder if the bear's there, right? And I was a little bit afraid. Then I had this thought of maybe the bear will eat me. And then as all you people are coming in, you'll see my half-eaten body. And I think these things sometimes, you know. And I thought how sad that would be for you all to see that. But I did. I was scared for a moment. I'm like, well, I wonder if the bear's there, right? The other day, I was sitting in Starbucks, and I swear, the scariest man I have ever seen in my life. And I usually don't really care, but this guy, if you've seen The Avengers, he was Thanos. Like, he walked in. I sent Ron a picture because I was so terrified. And even then, I was terrified because I'm like, what if he sees me taking a picture of him? Then I'm dead. But he had, like, neck. This guy had Varsity Ink. He had, like, tattoos, like, up his face and, like, on his thing. And he just was huge. I'm like, this guy was a little bit afraid, you know? We have fear of danger. We should be afraid of danger. We should be afraid of things that might hurt us. That's good and God-given, right? We should be afraid of those things. What about fear due to guilt? Why would fear due to guilt be good?
Makes us change.
Makes us change, right? If that guilt is right, it's good. If we actually did do something wrong, right? We should be afraid, right? Even if we break the law, like we should be afraid. That's a healthy fear. It should cause us to change. I like how you said that. Yeah, because it motivates us to resolve it. And so we'll say this, the healthy fear. Fear is right and good when it moves us toward God and biblical behavior. Fear is right and good when it moves us towards God. I don't know if it's towards or toward God and biblical behavior. Okay, so not all fear is bad. We have that as an instinctive reaction within us that God has given us, okay? But there are unhealthy fears, right? Somebody look up Proverbs 29:25. An unhealthy fear. Our first one is the fear of man. What does Proverbs 29:25 tell us about the fear of man? Somebody read that nice and loud. Go ahead, Terry.
The fear of man bringeth a snare, but if it's trusted in the Lord, shall be safe.
Nice. And you're rolling KJV. I love that. Fear of man is a snareth. I like it. Thank you. The fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. It's not something that's good. Usually snares are bad. Like, we don't want to get caught in a snare. We don't want to get caught in a trap. What is fear of man? Besides the Thanos guy, that was for real. Like, what is fear of man?
Valuing man's opinion more than God's.
Yeah, valuing man's opinion more than God. Valuing maybe what other people think of us, right? And letting that, here's the key, control us. If I look a certain way, if I dress a certain way, if I say a certain thing, then maybe that person will like me, right? I really care what this person thinks about me a little bit too much, so it's going to control me. It's going to control me. That's fear of man, right? You can't be yourself around someone, right? You can't speak the truth in front of someone because maybe you're afraid of them in that way and they're controlling you, right? Another unhealthy fear of temporal things rather than eternal things. Right? And some of these things, you know, we kind of chuckle at, like spiders, the dark, airplanes, blood, needles, cats, big trucks on the highway, my personal fear being buried alive. Like, some of those things, right, they're there, but they're not really like things that we face every single day, right? And sometimes we run across these temporal things that we're afraid of. What about illogical fears? Like, the ground will open up underneath in your car and you'll be sucked into the center of the earth. People won't drive over bridges because they're convinced the bridge will collapse. Right? They won't fly in airplanes because they're convinced the airplane will crash to the ground. Right? Those are kind of illogical fears. Those might not be healthy fears. Here's a big one. Fear of things we cannot change. There's just stuff we can't change. There's stuff that we don't know what's going to happen, but yet we're still afraid of it. That could be another one. Fear of stuff that hasn't happened yet might not happen. Right? You can write that down. Fear of stuff that hasn't happened yet and might not happen. Fear of things we cannot change. And so we'll say this. Fear is unhealthy when it is allowed to motivate thinking and behavior that is unbiblical. You see that? See the two different kinds of fears? One's going to motivate us towards God and being more biblical. The other one's going to push us towards being less biblical. To motivate thinking and behavior that is unbiblical. And that's where it gets really crazy, because these things become thought patterns and thought habits in our brains that we've rehearsed for decades and decades and decades, right? And they get burned into our brain. They're habits. Church, God has given us habits as a blessing, right? Imagine having to get into your car every day and then be like, let's see, what do I do first? Do I put the key in the ignition? Do I turn it? God's given us habits that we learn these things, and they're buried in our brain, right? So we've learned how to sometimes be in unhealthy fear. But the good news is we can relearn how to be in good fear and godly fear, because we can use the brains and the psyche that God has given us to relearn, to re-kind of forge those new pathways, right? All right, so let's look at some evaluation. We looked at definition. Let's look at some evaluation. Why do we give in to fear, an unhealthy fear? Okay, why do we give in to an unhealthy fear? What do we think? Why do we give in to an unhealthy fear? Go ahead, Em.
Because we've been given fear as one of the emotions that we have.
Yep.
It's untrained, it's an uncultivated emotion. Just like we love things that we shouldn't love.
Okay.
We're not cultivating it.
Okay. Okay. So if we just let fear kind of run amok and we don't have self-control and we don't cultivate it to fear the right things, we just let it go and fearing some of the wrong things. Yeah, we could do that. What else? What do we think?
What?
Self-obsession. Explain. Don't say we're explained with self. Go on.
I'm worried about
Yeah.
The more I'm focused and excited by something that I'm nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really kind of what it comes down to, right? Is that instead of focusing on God, we're focusing on us. This is unhealthy fear, okay? We see a bear, we should be afraid. But unhealthy fear, right? We're focusing more on us and ourselves than on God. And really, that's sin. And that's sin at the end of the day. It doesn't necessarily help with someone who is really struggling with fear to call them a sinner, and to yell at them. Okay, we're gonna talk a little bit about more about that, right? But rather, it's also the capital S sin, right? Not just our sin in turning from God and worrying about ourselves, but it's also capital S sin, meaning the sin in the world. Like, because sin exists, because we know evil's out there, right? Because we know what darkness can do. Because we know it's there because of the presence of sin in the world, fear exists. Think about this. It struck me as I was preparing for this. There was no fear in Eden, right? Adam and Eve were perfect in the garden. They had no idea what unhealthy fear was. They knew fear of God. That was it, right? Nothing died. Nothing hurt them. There was no evil. There was no sin. Until sin came into the world, that's when we had unhealthy fear then come in. Right? And we need to evaluate why we are fearful. Therefore, there might be repentance required, right? Often if there's ungodly fear, idolatry isn't far behind. We might fear a loss of comfort. We might fear a loss of control. We might fear a loss of whatever fill in the blank that is rivaling God for that God spot in our lives. And a lot of times when we're fearful in an unhealthy way, it's because something is threatening our idol. And we don't want that to go away, right? So if we're dying to protect our idol, that's an unhealthy fear, right? Could also be an unbiblical understanding of God. We're not really truly understanding who God is. Maybe we think God's the big meanie in the sky that is out to punish us every single day. Maybe we think that God is just oppressing our life somehow, right? Maybe we have a lack of a real biblical understanding of who God is. That might even include not being truly saved, not even understanding what God did for us on the cross, right? And as Emily said, a lack of self-control in thoughts and imaginations. Sometimes we just let our minds go, right? And they go fast and far, right? Down really dark, scary places sometimes really quickly. My favorite old dead preacher, Spurgeon, said, "Our groundless fears are our chief tormentors." Our groundless fears are our chief tormentors. Stuff that we really have no business being afraid about. Why? Because our brains just went all the way that way about stuff that will probably never happen. Right? We terrorize ourselves with stuff that will probably never happen. So a lot of those things of why we give in to an unhealthy fear. Let's look at what the Bible says. So somebody get ready with Psalm 115:11. How about we get a hand for that? Thank you. You are ready to go. Someone hold your thought. Deuteronomy 10:12. Somebody for that? Momo, thank you. Matthew 22:37-38. One more. Lenny's got that. All right, so here we're going to look to the Bible, and we're going to see why is unhealthy fear unbiblical. So Psalm 115:11. Read that for us nice and loud, sir. Nice job. Thank you very much. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:12.
And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?
Yeah, God requires Israel right there, point blank. Fear. This is what I want you to do. Fear the Lord. In Matthew 22:37-38.
Great first commandment.
I was trying to build a common thread in there. I don't know if you picked it up. We should be revering, fearing, loving God more than anything else, right? That's the root of unhealthy fear, is when we allow something to get in that top spot that only God should be. That was only three verses. There are a million more in the Bible that tell us we should fear God above all else. And if we're fearing something above God, it's unbiblical, right? Then he read from Matthew where it said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? That's the most important commandment, right? Oftentimes fear is connected with love because we're fighting to protect a sin maybe that we love or an idol that we love or whatever that we love. And we're substituting that. We're having all our energies in defending that instead of all of our love towards God. Yeah, that's why fear is, unhealthy fear is unbiblical. Why is unhealthy fear otherwise terrible? A couple things we can think of. Well, let's see if anybody gets that. Why? A couple things. What else could come about from an unhealthy fear? What other things could happen? Jancy, way in the back. Additional sin. I like that. Additional sin because you're afraid, so you make bad choices, right? Absolutely. Anybody ever done that? I've done that like a million times. Make stupid decisions because you're afraid and it's a panic move, right? Yeah. Mikey, I got a diagram, I think. It's a downward spiral. See? What happens at the top? Top, it's nice and wide. But as we go down, as we fear more, as we give in to fear more, as this happens, we spiral down. But also notice what's happening. It shrinks. Right? And so fear shrinks our world to be about just this thing. Our whole lives are meant to worship God and enjoy Him forever. But when we're controlled by fear, an unhealthy fear, we shrink our lives to this thing or these couple things. And we live such a confined, suppressed, oppressed life. Right? And that's what it is. If you have been there before, you know that cycle. We just keep making, well, I did this, I fear this, I have another thing, and I went down. I did this, I fear this, I have another thing, and my life gets smaller. And you just feel, you literally feel cramped. You literally feel like things are closing in on you. That's what fear does. Jancy said it well. Additional sin. I call them ACFs, additional complicating factors. It increases the likelihood of additional complicating factors. You make dumb decisions when you're afraid. Right? I'm really afraid. I'm really stressed out. So I'm going to go out and have a couple beers. I'm going to have a couple beers too many. Bad decision. And I'm going to get behind the wheel. Really, really bad decision. See what I mean? I'm really stressed out. I'm really afraid. So I'm going to go online. I'm going to look at something I shouldn't. Really bad decision. Right? I'm going to call somebody I shouldn't call. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to blow up at my family. And I'm going to ruin that relationship. I'm going to ignore somebody else. Whatever it is. Additional complicating factors are going to come about from fear. Fear is a terrible environment to be making decisions in. So it increases the likelihood of additional complicating factors. It's also otherwise terrible because it's self-focused, not others-focused. Not just are we not sinning against God, we're sinning against each other. We should be helping each other. We should be coming alongside each other. But we're just shrunken in our own little, right, about ourselves. So we're not even looking out for our brothers and sisters so much anymore. We're just focused on us, right? And it also is otherwise terrible because it could indicate a relationship with God that isn't right. You're living in this fear cycle, and maybe you're actually just running from your relationship with God that might not be right. Right? Those are big things. All right, so let's do a little exercise. I have a graphic here. It's going to blow your mind. There it is. There's an individual exercise. This is a live shot of me at Snap Fitness earlier this week. I tried to do individual exercise. I don't know who that is. It's just on Google. But there's an exercise in your handout there. So take like 5 minutes. You don't have to work with a group. No group. This is an individual exercise like this poor fellow here is doing an individual exercise. Just work through some of those things. Work through some of those questions. Fill it in as best you go for honesty. I'll just tell you up front, you're not going to have to share any of this. I'm not going to pick anybody to share their fears, okay? So you can just write what you want. Answer those questions. I'm going to run to the back and get a drink of water. Yeah, just go for honesty. Try not to read too much. What does the pastor want to hear into this? Because we're not going to look at this. This is just supposed to be for you. Okay? Anybody feel better by writing it down or worse? People are like, I need more paper. All right, so how do we deal with, right? I brought you through, you know, name your biggest fear, step through your thinking, right? What additional complicating factors have happened, right? And how are you acting to resolve this fear, right? Probably you haven't resolved the fear. That's why it's on your page, right? So how can we resolve the fear biblically, right? Because that's not what we did here. We just wanted to get that out and get you thinking about that. Okay, so let's look at some application. We looked at definition, evaluation. Let's look at some application. So first, analyze, is this an unhealthy fear or a healthy fear? And how can we tell if it's an unhealthy fear or a healthy fear? We go back to our definition. What is this fear moving you towards? Is it moving you more towards God and biblical behavior? Or is it moving you more towards away from God and unbiblical behavior? So first, analyze that. If it's a healthy fear, keep it in check. And press on in wisdom. Maybe don't go by the dumpster when you know the bear is there. But we're mainly talking about unhealthy fear here, right? And so some common steps that are going to apply everything week after week, okay? We're gonna see these week after week. First, we got to confess. First John tells us to confess. James tells us to confess in James 5:16. Tells us, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Right? And I'll even go to 1 John. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess means to say the same thing that God says. In other words, you're confessing that it is sin. You are agreeing that it's sin. A lot of times when we say confess, we're thinking we're informing God of something. We're not informing God of anything. God knows everything. Okay? We're just agreeing that that is an unhealthy fear and it's a sinful fear. And hopefully you can figure out why it's an unhealthy fear. Right? Whether it's idolatry, whether it is fear of man, whether it's whatever. So we confess it. This is done in prayer. We need to do this in prayer. It's So we go to God and we confess and we repent. We define repentance as a change in heart that leads to a change in behavior. It's based in the gospel. It's not just, I don't want to do that anymore. It's, okay, I want to change my thinking on this, which will then change my behavior on this. That's true repentance. If there's not really change, did you repent? I don't know. There's a desire to change. That's good. Sometimes it takes a while to change. That's fine. That's working repentance. But we want to actively repent. And we want to apply the gospel always. Lather, rinse, repeat as needed. I understand that's a shampoo term. I'm not really familiar with that. Right? Preach the gospel to yourself. Always preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself who you are in Christ. Remind yourself of what Christ died for. Right? That's where it gets a little dangerous, because prosperity teaching will tell you that Christ died to give you a victorious life. Not really. Christ died for you to be free from sin. Christ died for you to be free specifically from his wrath from sin. And part of the sin in the world is fear, is unhealthy fear, right? So we don't have to be, I'm going to quote the song, right? We don't have to be slaves to fear. We don't have to be slaves to sin because of what Christ did for us in the gospel. So preach the gospel to yourself every day, because we will forget. I was at a conference with Paul David Tripp. Who's heard of Paul David Tripp? An amazing man of God, right? He wrote this book that my family enjoys called New Morning Mercies, which is a daily gospel devotional. Every day it's just gospel punch in the face, just reminds you of gospel. And he told everybody when he was there why he wrote New Morning Mercies. And he said, it's because I'm a gospel amnesiac. Because I forget the gospel every single day. I'm like, this is Paul David Tripp. He forgets the gospel every single day. We drift. Hebrews tells us, let us pay attention all the more closely to what we've heard so that we do not drift away, right? We need to remind ourselves, ground ourselves in the gospel and who we are. Fight for that with a little bit of moxie of who we are in Christ, right? And lastly, take action. And here are some practical things to give us to take action, okay? Face it, we did that on paper, right? Sometimes it just helps to name it, to analyze your heart, to realize the additional complicating factors that this has caused, to see what you've done, to see that it's not working, right? And just face it. Just be like, this is a fear that I need to deal with. Look at what it's doing to my life. Look at what it's doing to my health. Look at what it's doing to edit, whatever. You've got to face it. Develop a strong God focus. Because if you fear God above all else, it drives out all other fears, right? If you really do what the Word of God tells you to do in fearing God above all else, you will not fear anything else, because the fear of God will drive out all other fears. So cultivate that, develop that strong God focus. If your fear is dealt based in guilt, maybe it's time you just need to go to the gospel and confess your sins and realize that Christ died for your sins on the cross, where they were dealt with completely. It is finished. Deal with guilt in the gospel. Sometimes a lot of fear has to do with these sins that we try to keep hidden, right? Drag the sin out into the light. Sin thrives in the darkness, okay? That's where sin grows. It grows in the darkness. It grows when you try to hide it. It grows when you try to keep it from people. That's where it grows. That's where it likes to be. It's like those really sick cave crickets that we see nowadays, right? They like to be in those dark, moist places. Sin likes to be there. Sin cannot survive in the light. You drag it out into the light. You drag it to the cross where Christ has dealt with it, right? Stop wasting energy trying to protect your sin. Deal with identity issues in the gospel. A lot of times we have fear of man. A lot of professionals, and I've heard this from a lot of people who frankly make a lot of money in white-collar occupations, professional occupations, there's this fear that they're a fake. There's this fear that they're not who they present themselves to be. There's a fear that there's always going to be someone who's going to be better than them, right? Or younger than them, or that somebody likes better, or somebody's getting promoted higher than they are. There's a fear that they're going to be found out that they're not as good as everybody thinks they are. So they kind of keep trying to impress and do and all of that, right? Fear of being found out. fear of being called a fake, deal with identity issues in the gospel. You're not a fake in Christ. Christ died for you to be brought to God. He loves you. Cultivate a sanctification mindset, or develop a sanctification mindset. What do you think I mean there? What could be a sanctification mindset? We talked about justification and sanctification. Yeah, Paula.
What you were talking about this morning. So, I guess that when you're saved, you are have a vision that we are supposed to be growing.
Yeah. That maybe, just maybe, I'm wrestling with this fear, not as a curse, but so I'll grow. Right? That God uses all things to grow me into the image of Christ and to glorify himself. We have a fear, and of course our first reaction is, get it away from me. It's like, yes, right? It's that instant prayer that we pray from God. God, take this away. God's like, okay, but I'm doing something here. You don't want me to take it away. You want to grow through it. That's what you want to do, right? So develop that sanctification mindset in all of life, that God, the realization that God is using all things, even and especially the unpleasant things, to grow me more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he does, okay? Cultivate an unbalanced love life. Somebody said that, and in my research, I forgot to write down who it was, so please don't say that was me, but I can't tell you who it was. But the idea is that we love God and other people more than ourselves. That's the concept of an unbalanced love life, that you're focused on God, you're focused on others more than you're focused on yourself. A lot of times when somebody's struggling with something, one of the things we want to do is get them serving, get them doing something, get them outside of themselves. Because like that downward spiral, like you could just be like this, right? In your own little fear world and everything else, get outside yourself, right? Cultivate an unbalanced love life. Love God and love others more. Think about yourself. I am excluding myself. Am I becoming a hermit? Am I socializing? Am I serving? Am I developing relationships? Cultivate an unbalanced love life. Is that what? I don't remember who it was. I honestly don't remember who it was, but it wasn't me. So here's a pretty easy one, and Jimmy will be talking about this a lot next week. Prioritize God-honoring diet, rest, and exercise. Our bodies are attached to our spirits and our minds, right? The Hebrew concept of the inner mind, the inner person, includes everything, right? And so I'll tell you what. I know that there are some things that I eat, for example, sugar. If I have sugar, I'm going to feel nervous. I'm going to feel a little bit fearful, but that has a lot to do with what I just put in my body. And maybe it has a lot to do with the 3 hours of sleep I got instead of the 7 hours of sleep. Maybe it's because I haven't gotten to the gym in a couple days, right? Stuff's important. It really is important. So God glorifying diet, rest, and exercise. And last, but certainly not least, use the sword of the Spirit to remind us who our God is. We've got to have some verses ready to go in the heat of battle. So when we feel fear coming on us, we can cling to the word of God instantly with it. And I want to pick a kind of a theme verse or a key verse every week. And this one, the kids even downstairs are learning a little special song about this verse. It's a scripture song. It's Isaiah 41:10. I memorized this verse. When I came to Christ eventually and I had to deal with fear, worry, and anxiety once and for all, this was my verse. This was it. And if I could read my context in, there it is. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Memorize God's word. Have this ready to go. Have this verse. What a great verse to have. Fear not. Why does he say fear not? Because why? I am with you. That's why you shouldn't fear. God is always with you, believer. He's always with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He's always with you. So fear not. Do not be dismayed. Why? For I am your God. God's in control of everything. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That vision, just what we sang, he will hold us fast, right? That vision of God strengthening us, upholding us with what? His righteous right hand. His way, his love, his growth, his glory. So use the sword of the Spirit to remind us of who God is. So a little biblical perspective on fear. Any questions, comments, disparaging remarks, further thoughts? If you have disparaging remarks, you're afraid to say them. Very nice. Fear of man right here. Any other thoughts? All right. Well then, I would encourage you to continue to dwell on some of these scriptures. Continue to look at some of the material in your handout there. And the other thing that I really didn't put in there, I thought I did, but use each other. Like maybe a first step for us, if we're dealing with one of these fears that we've written down here and that, you know, we've never really talked to somebody about, talk to somebody about it. Like maybe even say, hey, you know, I filled out this stupid piece of paper that the bald guy made me do, and you know, I've never really talked about this with anybody. Well, can we talk about it? Can you pray with me? Can you help me? Can we look at verses together? Can we strengthen each other? Can we encourage each other? That's what the body of Christ is for. Okay? So definitely do that. James 5:16. Confess it. That's how I wanted to tie that in, and somehow my thoughts got all, thank you, Paul. James 5:16, right? Confess your sins one to another, pray for one another, so you may be healed. We're supposed to be doing that with God, agreeing with God, but with each other too, to strengthen each other. So, all right, church, it's 8:02. Hopefully the kids ministry people are not tied up downstairs. But let me pray for us. God, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the way that you love us. We thank you for your power, Lord. And even just as we dwelled a little bit on this morning in your holiness, Lord, the realization that you are so far above us, that the things that we fear, Lord, these irrational, unhealthy fears, that one day, Lord, we will stand before you and that will be not even a thought in our mind. When we realize the amount of time that we spent worrying and fearing about some of these things in this world, Lord, standing before you, they won't even matter. They will all fall away. Help us to cultivate that kind of focus every day. Lord, but let us deal with these fears in the way that you have given us Jesus. Let us come to him, the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you for the promise in your word, Lord, that we should not fear because you are with us. We should not be dismayed, for you are our God. You will uphold us, Lord. You will strengthen us. You will uphold us with your righteous right hand. Lord, help us to rely on that. Help us to walk in that. Help us to confess when we're not. Help us to use each other as brothers and sisters in this fight. And would you be glorified as we long to grow more into the image of Jesus, your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.